I want to wish all of you out there a very happy and a very blessed new year. And I know that in more ways than one, we all truly do hope that this will be a blessed new year. We have been hoping and praying for blessings of one kind or another to come our way for some time now. Blessings in the form of health, safety, blessings in the form of an end to civil and political unrest and injustice, blessings that put an end to all of this that we're in, that keeps us indoors and that keeps us apart from one another. We've been looking forward to that blessing. We've been preparing for those blessings. This being still the season of Christmas, today, in fact, is the 10th day of Christmas, we're still very much walking through a season that reminds us of how deeply blessed we are and how much more blessing there is to come. We hear that again in the New Testament reading for today, that these are a deeply blessed people gathered together there, still looking, still contemplating, and really basking in the blessings of God. Christmas is a time when we reflect on blessing, and most especially the blessing that has come to us without our asking, anticipating our need, the blessing that graces us beyond our understanding in Christ. We sit with it and wonder at it, just as Mary and the shepherds sat with it and wondered at it so long ago. And today, since blessing is such a prominent theme of this season and hope for this new year, I want to talk a little bit about blessing. What does that word even mean? What is a blessing? Who does the blessing? And what kind of relationship, what kind of commission does being a blessed people involve us in? I grew up blessing my food before I eat, saying, "Bless you," when someone sneezes, like many of us did, I imagine. And it never occurred to me to think all that much about what that meant or what I was saying. But today I want to pause over this a bit. Because if we want a blessed year, if we want to be a people that appreciates and is able to recognize our blessings when they come, if we intend to become a blessing ourselves, then I think we ought to pause over this word for a while, especially as we enter into this new year. Our short reading from the book of Numbers for today contains a very frequently used blessing. It's what's known as the priestly benediction. And benediction just means a good word, a good saying, a blessing. This is, in fact, the oldest benediction that we know of. And did you know, here's a little Bible trivia for you, that the oldest archaeological artifact with any sort of scriptural quotation on it contains the words of this blessing. They were found inscribed on an ancient silver necklace. Somebody wanted to keep these words, keep this blessing, very close to their heart once upon a time. But why, you might ask? Why cherish these words and carry these words with you in particular? The first thing I want to point out about this passage from Numbers today is that these words are not the usual kind of casual well-wishing that we're all used to. It's not a happy new year or I hope you have a good new year kind of blessing. Most of the time when we offer those other kinds of blessings, we don't really know what they mean. We hope the person that we offer them to will interpret them in the sense that's most appropriate to them and that keeps us from having to put in too much work in the blessing. Well, you know what a happy or good new year means to you. Whatever it means to you, receive that wish as my blessing. That is not what we have here in Numbers chapter 6. These are crafted words. These are entrusted words. They are a blessing handed over to Moses, and Moses is first of all commissioned to hand them over intact to Aaron so that Aaron can be in possession of them and make them a part of a ministry, a blessing. Aaron, of course, is the head of the priestly line in the Hebrew Bible. He is the first priest, the fountainhead of the line that comes after him. The phrase "son of Aaron" is a synonym for priest in the Old Testament. And so all of the rites and rituals that are entrusted to Aaron in the books of the law in the Old Testament are understood to be responsibilities and requirements for the priesthood as a whole that came after him. And these are intentional sorts of words. Aaron is being instructed here through Moses to carry forward as part of his priestly ministry this bestowing of this rich blessing on this people that God intends to make a holy people. God's light to the nations. And so, what do the carefully curated and solemnly entrusted words say, so that the offering of them might become part of a ministry of blessing of sorts? You know, there are six pieces to this benediction, and they come in pairs. In the first, there in verse 24, it offers the Lord's well-being into the everyday lives of this people. May the Lord bless you and keep you, it says. In other words, may the Lord enrich your life and bestow good things, true blessings, into it. And may the Lord protect you from the bad. May God keep you from harm. It sounds simple, but there's more to this than what meets the ear at first. Because the blessing to be delivered by the priest here is, may it be the Lord that does these things for you. And may you know that it is the Lord. May you find yourself, in other words, surrounded by the visible signs of the Lord's care. This is not Happy New Year. It's a richer blessing than that. It is a pronouncement on our lives, not just that they be filled with the good and protected from the bad, but that you and I might learn to experience God's goodness and love for us in the concrete experiences of our everyday lives. The richness of that blessing only grows as this benediction moves ahead. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, is the next verse. It's talking about a smile in that verse. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. When it mentions that shining face, it's talking about the expression on a person's face that conveys how glad they are to see you, how happy you make them. There are no material blessings being offered in this part of the priestly benediction. It is simply and only the pure joy of finding contact with the God who is overjoyed to be meeting with you. It is a meeting up with the God who is gracious and kind. There is a kind of building up in this benediction, you see. It's not so much, after all, a blessing that's about empty wishes or material security. Once you start to dig into it, you start to appreciate why a benediction like this one is made part of a priestly kind of ministry. What it anoints its hearers with here is a deep and a rich knowledge of God, a tangible and relational experience of God, and a joy. Just the blessing of the joy that comes from finding oneself in God's presence. If there are any material blessings here at all, they're an afterthought. They grow out of the deep richness of the encounter that Aaron is to commission this people to. And no wonder that this would be the kind of blessing that the priest would be told to renew upon a holy and a beloved people. May you experience him, it says. See his workings around you, is what it says. Lastly, may the Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. And neither one of those expressions are quite what they seem on first reading. God's lifting up the face is an idiomatic kind of expression in Hebrew that doesn't come through quite so well in more or less literal attempts to translate it, like here in the NRSV. In several of the Psalms, we hear the psalmist begging God not to hide God's face from them in the middle of their trials and hardships. For God to lift God's face or hide God's face is a way of describing God's presence in the life of his people. When his face is hidden, it means that God feels absent and unreachable. When his face is lifted towards someone, it means that God is present and attentive and available. The blessing is that God may never feel absent, but God would be present and imminent in your life, especially when you pray. And the last pronouncement is that God would grant you shalom. Shalom is not just peace as the absence of conflict, but wholeness. May God take your shattered pieces and hold them together. May you find in this attentive presence that never turns its face away something that holds you together and that builds you stronger for the things that you face. You know, I'm not sure you can really appreciate what's being offered in a blessing like this unless you've hovered over it for a while. Because what is being held out on offer as a blessing here is really a whole lot more than we're used to receiving in a blessing, and maybe a whole lot more than we know how to receive. May this be a year where we receive a blessing beyond sentiment. May this be for us more than just a good year. May we experience God's goodness in our blessings and protections. May we experience God's love and kindness for ourselves. May you experience the overwhelming joy of God being present with you, and may you even detect God's smile. May this be a time when you can know that it is God holding your broken pieces together and building in you a wholeness that you didn't think was possible. And all of God's people said, Amen.